All right. I am so excited because it seems like the Indigo Girls might be on my podcast. And if you saw my Netflix special, Happy to Be Here, you know that I teased for an extended period of time that the Indigo Girls would make a surprise appearance on my special. And you'd have to see for yourself if they do or don't. But they are on this podcast episode. Well, actually, they're actually not on this. Yes, they are. They actually are. They are on this episode. No, of course, they are not on this episode. That is ridiculous. Why would I have them on my Netflix special and then on my podcast and do the exact same thing? That's nonsense. But why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I do that? The truth of the matter is, the Indigo Girls are here today. Amy Ray and Emily Saliers, they are here to... No, they're not. I'm kidding. Of course they're not here. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Okay, I'm not even going to do this. It is my favorite thing to do in the world, but Emily, Amy, are you here?
I didn't know whether I should answer that or
we
not.
We didn't know how long to play along with you on that one.
This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig. And I guess you can ask just this once.
We are not alone and nobody is hopeless. Everybody goes to shit. We got a friend in Tig. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hello, Emily.
Hey, Tig. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being here. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Tig. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to see your faces. How do you feel about doing an advice podcast?
I don't know yet.
You don't know? Okay.
Not yet.
I have faith in both of you.
All right.
And I'm just curious, just for myself, is it true you've played together since high school, or I feel like it was even junior high school?
We have known each other since we were 10. And we started playing when we were 15. So we had high school that was 8 through 12.
Oh, okay.
All in one go. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we started in 10th grade. I was in 10th grade and Emily was in 11th.
That's insane.
But we knew each other before that for a while.
And is there a trick to getting along? And I know you've done your solo projects and most bands kind of do go in that direction, but you continue to come back together. What is your trick to keeping it going?
There's a lot of tricks to it, but they aren't really tricks. It's just a path that we found, and we write our songs separately, so we have some creative distance on that, and then we arrange them together, and that's what we do well together. And then we live in separate places and have a lot of separate friendships. We totally support each other's solo creative projects. And so we spend enough time apart that when we get back together, it's like we're ready to do Indigo Girls things again.
Nice. Yeah, I actually was curious because it seems like it's a 50-50 split on the albums where is that true? It's half Amy, half Emily as far as songwriting?
Mostly. I mean, every now and then it veers one way or the other. Emily had one more song on this record. But we try to keep it pretty even.
And do you feel utterly resentful about one more
the
Emily
one song? No, there's so much other stuff to feel resentful about. I don't have to go there.
Now, with the rough 50-50 split,
right.
As a fan of your music, I've always been curious, what do you do when the other one brings a song? Offers up a song for an album, and you're like, hey, boy. And they're so excited about it, and you're not.
That doesn't really happen. I mean, honestly, it happened one time a million years ago. Amy wrote a song about Squeaky Fromm, and I just wasn't ready yet.
No, it was Lucy Stoner's.
Oh, so, Was it Lucy Stoner's?
Yeah.
But was that about, but you wrote about Squeaky Fromm.
I did, but remember Lucy Stoner's? And you said, I can't see us doing that song.
Right. So then it's happened twice.
But that's pretty good. What about, and then has Emily ever brought a song?
You know, when Emily brings a song in, it's for me, it's like, it's not whether the song's good, because Emily's just a great writer. I'll hear a song sometimes and think, I don't know how to add harmony to that. Like, it's just, it's a singular voice, that kind mm-hmm. of vibe, you know? And yeah. I'll say, I think this is a solo song because it's intimate or it's got a perspective in it that, and usually we know that now. Like, that's uh-huh. something that we just know when we write. Like, we know, like, this is one that's probably not for us to do together kind of thing. But nowadays, Emily knows already this is going to be a song I sing by myself or whatever. But I also think that we're better at editing the songs out before we play them for each other that we're not sure about, you know. Or we'll say, like, I don't know about this song, and, you know, we'll openly doubt ourselves so that the other person knows it's not like a deal breaker, you know?
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about just your catalog of music and just how different and diverse and how much you come together with the singing and harmonizing and guitar playing. And it's very much like, and I hate to be obvious, but it's very much like a marriage, and you have to kind of fall in love and continue to work at things over and over as you go along in life. And you guys, as a duo, really exemplify that in a really incredible way.
I think there's a lot of clear differences and some strengths like that Amy has that I don't have in the same way. And I mean, right off the bat, when we first started in high school, Amy had a lower voice and I had a higher voice and back then. And then I was like singing a lot of church descant soprano parts. And Amy was always like a rock and roll acoustic guitar player. And I was more of I had taken some classical lessons. I was more of a picker type thing. So there were just things right off the bat that differentiated us. But there was never a problem. Like, we just used everything that we had, every tool that we had. I think that's why some of those early songs are just like chock full of descants and harmonies and counter voices and all this stuff. Because first of all, it was fun to do that. And second of all, that's what we did. And so we weren't a band. We were two young women, girls, really, when we started. So we just used what we had.
I think like the evolution thing is, you know, you just get lucky sometimes. I mean, part of it, you know, like where it's the person that you can, you know, be flexible with and kind of go in and out of different phases and always realize that, like, you know, what you do together is going to be, you know, that's going to be the strongest thing or the thing that has the magic. But also, like, our relatives and our, like, friends, like, would constantly, like, my dad used to say before he passed away, you know, he would be like, every time I made a solo record, he'd be like, I like that record, but you know, you and Emily, that's the magic. And I'd be like, thanks, Dad. So it,
were those like, his last words?
Pretty much. I'm serious. Like, it was like something that I could laugh about a lot because it was constant. I was like, I know, Dad. I know. Every time I bring up a solo show, I know what you're going to say. He's like, don't focus too much on that solo stuff, you know?
That's hilarious.
And I think it's like, but it's true. And I think that's like part of being in a community is that uh-huh. it's like having a marriage where they constantly remind you to like work it out, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, it's, you know, we are in a community that reminds us of what we are all the time, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's the same as having not just a long marriage, but also old friends. It just, all of it keeps you in check. Do you ever just sit around or hear an old song or even a new song? You're just like, God, we're so good.
No.
God, listen to us. God. Do you blow your own minds?
Do you?
What?
Do you blow your own mind?
Oh, come on, Amy. All the time. Yeah, I'm just... I truly, like, hearing your music, I just picture you sitting around going, oh, man, listen to that. And then as far as, you know, let's say there's a kid out there listening that plays guitar and they want to be a musician, a guitar player. Do you have any advice as we ease into the advice world?
I'd say for a new guitar player, just to keep on practicing and to do it because you love it, and don't ever doubt that you will get to a place in the future that maybe you aren't right now musically on the guitar, but that it can happen, and just have joy with the guitar and with music because it's just an incredibly unique force in this life.
Indeed. Yeah. People, I think, oftentimes want, how long will it take until I'm good, or how long until I can perform, or when will I be selling out venues? And it's just like, you have got to, I mean, same with stand-up. I used to just ride my bike to open mics 7 nights a week. And
yeah,
there was no part of me that was thinking, I mean, of course I had a crazy dream that I would be able to sell tickets at a theater, but I was really riding my bike to an open mic, excited that I might get picked, my name might get picked out of a hat to do 3 minutes of terrible jokes and then ride my bike home.
I think because we were so young when we started, you know, you don't see it that way because it is like small goals. You know, you're like, maybe we can play at that open mic at the sandwich shop next week. I mean, seriously, high school goals. I mean, we're lucky that we started so young because our whole ambition was like, so not ambitious. You know, it was like, let's go to play at the resort and get free drinks and all our friends will come and that'll give us enough money so that we can play a gig at a punk rock club where we don't get paid the next week. You know, like it was just like mapping it out, like strategy. Mm-hmm. We're like, how can we maximize our fun? You know? Mm-hmm. And I think I think we're lucky that we started that young, because I think it's hard when you start later, you do want to know how long it's going to take, you know, because you don't have as much time, you know, and you're thinking that way. You know what right. I mean?
I mean, I was in my mid-20s and I was still just like, yeah, this is fine. Whatever happens.
You know? That's the key, I think, though, just like not lack of ambition, but like the zen of holding that. At the same time that you have that long-term goal, you kind of hold the present moment all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are people waiting for our advice. Are you ready to get in there and help people out to the best of our abilities?
Let's do it.
Let's dive in. Michelle writes, "How do I not take it so personally when my significant other is in a bad mood, whether it be because of work, family, or any other outside scenario?" Emily, do you have some?
Well, I was just thinking, like, if you and your partner, spouse, friend, whatever you are affected by each other's moods when they don't have anything to do with you, it's codependence, and it's something that a lot of couples have to work on. And in my marriage, one of the big things that has helped me with that is to learn to build the trust so that if she says, this doesn't have anything to do with you, then I begin to recognize what doesn't have anything to do with me. And it's just kind of a practice of recognizing that. But you have to talk about it. Like that, I mean, it just boils down to communication, really. When you said that, I took it personally because it makes me feel like blah, 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 you know, and a lot of times it's old stuff from our childhood or something we experienced, and something old will be triggered by somebody else's mood or whatever they say. And so it's a lot of like communication, honesty, and building trust, and then recognizing when something comes from your past that has nothing to do with the other person.
Yeah. And I also think it's good to give people space or ask them if they want space, which is, of course, part of communication.
Yeah.
But So great. We started out heavy. Let's let's wish Michelle the best. It's a tough spot to be in, so take care. And we're going to get to more questions right after this break.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science versus. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science versus on Spotify.
Okay, we're back and we're potentially going to plot the course of someone's life here. So it's a big one. Emily, Amy, are you up for this task?
Yeah.
Emily?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Jane writes, I'm a high schooler and have no idea what career I want to pursue. I love writing, grammar, and musical theater, but I'm not good enough in any of those fields to make a substantial job out of being an actor or an author. Any advice?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is, how do you know you're not good enough? Because if it's because someone else is telling you that, or even the voices inside you of doubt, don't believe that yet. Wait, you know,
yeah.
Like give it some time, first of all, and pursue what you love, I would say. And, you know, in however you need to pursue that, whether it's going to college and majoring in English or theater, or going out there in the world and apprenticing at somewhere. But I don't think you can know that you're not good enough when you're under, I don't know, 25 or something. I think that people can do a lot in their life. You got to follow that road of something that you're passionate about, because it's going to have all these forks in it that's going to go off in different directions that'll be, you know, I just say my thing is always just work as hard as you can at everything that you do, whether it's sweeping floors or writing a song.
Mm-hmm. I feel like when you stick with something, it's really, I have to say it can be rare, but I have seen it in comedy where there's people that, where I've thought, oh, wow, we're 15 years in here and you're still not good. This is fascinating and you're still at it. And that person clearly loved doing it. But then there's this guy, I don't know what happened with him, but I went to some booked show in Los Angeles at some bar and he was on stage. And I remember thinking, oh boy, here we go again. And he was so, so funny. He had found his voice. There is something to be said for sweeping the floor really, really well and putting in the time for writing and performing.
Yeah, I mean, I was not like that great. It took me a long time to catch up to where Emily was at. And I was always kind of like, fake it till you make it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had gone by some inner voice or what some people told me early on, I would never have stuck with it. You know, there was a part of me that was just compelled to do it, whether I was good at it or not, honestly. So I'm a late bloomer, you know, and I think a lot of people are.
I'm for sure a late bloomer. Oh my gosh. It's embarrassing how long it takes me to bloom. all right. Jane, hang in there, sweep the floor, write the song, perform, do whatever, ever brings you joy, for as long as it brings you joy. And the next question, we have what sounds like a really devastating problem. Dressy writes, as I lay my head down to sleep at night, Aerosmith's Dream On haunts my brain. Night after night, this happens. How can I put this to an end?
Listen to Indigo Girls song over and over again.
I was going to say, I feel like the obvious answer is Indigo Girls. I mean,
that's fascinating, though, isn't it?
It is fascinating.
I mean, it's one thing to have, I've had a song loop through my mind for most of a day, but not night after night after night.
You know, I had a, I'm just realizing, speaking of dreams, and this isn't going to help Dressy at all, but I had a dream maybe two or three years ago, and you were both in the dream, and the dream was almost like a music video, and it was, do you know the band Rainbow? That classic rock band? No? They have a song called Street of Dreams. And that was the song that was playing in my dream that you were both in. And I never liked or cared about that song. And it was kind of a song that I didn't think anything about, or I changed immediately because of that dream. I love that song now. Listen, I have more boring stories if you have time.
I was just going to say for Dressy, like, this is just a little baby practical suggestion, but Dressy, if you played music like at night when you go to sleep, like other music, I wonder if it would infiltrate your dreams instead of Dream On.
Yeah. Try an Indigo Girls song. Try Rainbow's Street of Dreams. And then let us know if that helps at all, Dressy. We're thinking about you. Last question is one I think we're all looking for an answer to. Allison writes, I hate talking on the phone, but every time my friend calls me, I end up on the phone for over an hour. I don't want to be a jerk and not answer, but I also don't want to be on the phone for so long. What should I do? Now, I remember having this problem years ago, and I remember asking a friend of mine who's maybe 10, 15 years older than me. I shared this stress that I had. It was before caller ID. It was, you know, it was just that lottery of answering the phone and saying hello, and then there is whoever it might be. And and this person used to call me all the time, and I answered the phone, and I would get stuck for long periods of time. And my friend's advice, well, she just basically said, you are scared to come across as rude or, as Allison says, a jerk. But think about this person who is hijacking your time and not considering. That's equally as rude, to not consider that maybe you need to wrap up. And so it's okay to just be as direct and forward and say, I have to get off the phone. But I don't know. Do you have any feelings, Emily or Amy?
I mean, I would do what you just said, which is just to be direct. And, you know, I mean, I'd probably be nice about it and say, it's been really nice catching up, but I got to do this or I got to do that, you know. But I'm like that person. I do not like to talk on the phone. And I get drained of every ounce of energy when I'm engaged with someone in conversation. And I can't go on in it. So for me, it's worth it to just say, I got to go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I don't think it's ever come across as being rude. There's a way to do it, but you'll feel so much better.
Well, yeah. When you think about when you're on a phone call and somebody says, oh, hey, I'm sorry, I have to go. You don't hang up and just trash your house out of frustration. I mean, it's just highly unlikely that somebody can't handle that answer.
If I was the other person and I was going on and on, it would be a relief to me for someone to say, I got to go. Because maybe I'm going on and I don't even know I'm doing it. Because that's me. Like, I'm just like, well, you know, my brain won't stop. And Emily has to do this. You know, she'll have to say, I can't. I'm going to bed. I can't talk anymore about this tonight. You know, like if I'm having a million business ideas on the tour bus, you know?
Oh, I see.
At night. Cause my brain works at night. Yeah. But I'm relieved if she says like, I can't do this right now, or I'm really tired. I can't. Yeah. I like it when people are straightforward with me cause it keeps me in line. I try to remember that cause I know, I think about the other person on the other end is probably appreciative if I'm just honest.
But like if I called somebody a lot and like every time they were like, I can't talk right. I mean, I'd take a bite of the Clue Burger and like not call so much, you know, like just.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's not I can't talk at all. It's like if you go on and on, right? Because
yeah,
it's like,
yeah. I just meant if I could probably tell when someone didn't really like talking on the phone.
Right. And they're probably not calling you. That's the other thing is to kind of get in check where, you know, what are they doing? Do they call me? How often do they call? When do they wrap it up? But I do think the more direct you can be, it's going to leave. It's so nice when people are direct.
Yeah.
And it leaves no question about what's going on. I have a friend that's in recovery. And she is so hardcore, and it cracks me up how in check and hardcore with her boundaries she is. And I'll just, whether it's with me or somebody else, and she, when she's tired, when she wants you to leave, when she, and it's the funniest thing in the world. And I think some people take it personally and their feelings get hurt, but I always just die laughing and just tell her that I really appreciate it. And I find it so funny where she's like really hardcore, will just boot you out of her house. And when you've settled in and you think you're good at reading a room, and then she's like, all right, skedaddle, get out of here. And I just, I don't know. I find it amusing.
I have a friend that is really good at getting off the phone with me, and I just think about how he would do it, mm-hmm. and then I mimic what he would do.
What does he do?
He's just really polite, and he's like, hey, I want to hear about this more, and I'm glad we talked about it. Like, he's just really affirming, and then he'll be, but like, I totally have to go. And like, it's just his tone and his manner is so perfect. Uh-huh. And so I'll think inside my head, you know, when I'm talking to somebody and I have to go, like, how would he do this?
Wow, you might have an acting career in your future.
No, that definitely is not. You know, that's not true.
No, I don't. Well, I mean, I never thought I'd get into acting. I mean, it sounds like you're describing what a lot of actors think through.
I'm a terrible
head.
Actress.
My first time acting was on this Comedy Central show called Dog Bites Man. It was Zach Galifianakis's show. And he had brought me on because we were old stand-up friends. And I hadn't auditioned or anything. It was truly just Zach said, oh, I want Tig to come on. And it is the most embarrassing thing to see. I walk in to the scene in the room. I have my hands out in front of me and I deliver my lines. And then I just keep my hands directly in front of me. And I didn't even know I was doing it for the entire scene. I was like this, just holding. And other people said their lines in the scene. Then I said my lines, but my hands were frozen. And so I bet you could do better than that.
You found your voice. That was your voice. That was like your thing.
I guess so. Yeah. That was the early days. But Allison, you know what? If all else fails, just hang up on your friend and just.
Well, now we have cell phones. It's easy.
There's also that option. Yeah. Just click. But before we go, Amy and Emily, we have one more person to help. And this person is from the past. I call this advice of yesteryear. Okay.
Okay. Oh, you're so
yesteryear.
When Jerry brags about taking Ginny out, he learns that she dates all the boys.
So as we see now, menstruation is just one routine step in a normal and natural cycle.
How do you choose a date? Well, one thing you can consider is look.
I did everything you said, but my boss still hasn't asked me to lunch.
Here we take a real question from an old advice column, and we try to offer better advice than the original answer.
Oh, man, you're good. You're good. You're good with these ideas.
Okay, thank you. This comes from Dorothy Dix's letterbox from 1934.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dear Dorothy Dix, we are a young couple in very modest circumstances, just getting established. Recently, my husband brought me home from a business trip a bracelet for a gift. I need so many things more than jewelry that I just couldn't help showing my disappointment. When he saw how I felt, he gave me a $20 bill and said he would never give me anything but money in the future, and that henceforth, I could get my own presents. Do you think I made a mistake? Now, before I give you the answer to this... What do you think?
Oh man.
It sounds like a good straightforward arrangement.
Pretty straightforward.
That's a good arrangement, you know.
Just to get $20 in your hand?
I mean, that's what she wants, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
She needs
I'm sure somewhere down the line she's gonna want to open something with a bow on it, right?
Probably, yeah.
You know what's so funny though? As soon as I heard 1934 and you said we're a young couple, first thing I thought was, okay, well, it's not a queer couple. There's no way.
Right.
And the second thing I thought was, all the advice you'd give today, you wouldn't give in yesteryear. Like, you wouldn't say communication is the key to a successful marriage, you know?
Right. I just kept thinking, why not?
Because I don't think men and women, and I'm generalizing.
The dynamic.
I don't think that women had a place to engage as frequently with men in that way, where we could talk about feelings and you could talk about whatever codependency was and things like that. So my first thought was, God, good luck with that marriage. But that's not really advice.
Well, they're dead, but...
Yeah, it worked out some way or another.
My advice is like, first of all, I think there were people in the 30s that communicated. Probably it was more rare. But like my great grandparents were very, really good at talking. It was like a thing, like a model. Anyway, I would say, go back to your partner and say, I'm sorry for the way I reacted to that, but I'm stressed out and there's all these practical things that I need, but I realize that romance is important too. So let's start over again. Let me keep the 20 for now. And next present, you know, give me another chance. That's what I would say.
And bump it up to 40.
Well, this is the 30s, though. I mean, remember, $20 is worth a lot of money right back then.
I know. That's one of the things that stuck out to me was I thought, wow, he's just tossing out $20 bills. This guy's got cash. So if you've got 20, you've got 40.
What did Dorothy say?
All right. See, Emily's being very straightforward. She's essentially trying to get off the phone call.
I like your style.
How do you know her tricks already? You know her tricks already.
All right. This is truly the answer that was given.
Oh, my God.
The trouble with practical people is that they are not always good judges of values. And they do not realize that a bit of foolishness that expresses a sentiment may be the most worthwhile thing that is possible for money to purchase. You let him down flat because he had been extravagant, because he wasted his money, because he hadn't brought you something useful, and you've killed something in him that will never come alive again. You've destroyed something in his love that you can never conjure back. The end.
Whoa.
I mean, I don't know if Dorothy had a rough run-in with somebody. It sounds like there's a lot of resentment here.
Yeah.
Like maybe Dorothy or whoever wrote this experienced something similar and is just like, you killed every bit of life inside my heart and soul. You know?
Totally. But there's merit in it, I guess, you know, maybe in the saying like, let somebody give you a romantic and practical gift and, you know, let them express that part of themselves. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
No, I think you would. I think what you're saying is that you would have thrived in 1934. Oh, well, that's the end of Don't Ask Tig, and I think that you guys are very, very great at giving advice. Yeah, I just want to thank you both for coming on. And do you have anything that you'd like to plug? A new album, maybe?
Hmm.
We do have a new album. It came out in May.
Trying to remember. Wait a minute. What do we have a record?
I know. It's been, Look Long. It's called Look Long.
Well, get Look Long by the Indigo Girls. And you can send in your own questions at don'tasktig.org. And we might try to answer them on a future episode. You can write them down, or you can send them in as a voice memo. Again, that's don'tasktig.org to reach us with your questions. Emily and Amy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So much fun.
That was awesome. What a great idea for a show.
So much fun. We'll see you down the road. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Heads up. Don't Ask Tig is taking a couple of weeks off, but we'll be back shortly with more guests and more advice you probably should not take. I would love for you to send me your questions in an audio message because I want to hear your voices. Go to don'tasktig.org to send us your questions and you might hear it on the show. That's what your heart is for. That's what your heart is for. That's what your heart is for. Listen to your heart. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to rate and review us. Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Mary Knopf, and Tracy Mumford. Our editor is Phyllis Fletcher, executive producer Lauren D, engineering and sound mixing by Eric Romani, digital production by Christina Lopez, talent booking by Rocky Benlulu Dubin. Our theme music is Friend and Tig by Edie Burkell and Kyle Crusham, and Listen to Your Heart by Edie Burkell. Special thanks to Hunter Seidman, Lily Kim, and Alex Schaffert. Our executive consultant is Dean Capello and Gobsmack Studios. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. And as always, thank you, Dana. Hi, I'm stand-up comedian and sex symbol Tig Notaro.
And I'm actor and writer Cheryl Hines.
Before Cheryl and I got into the big business of podcasting together, We were just simply friends.
And we're still friends. But now we talk about a different documentary every week on our podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. So whether you love documentaries or just want to hear us slowly lose our minds, check out Tig and Cheryl, True Story, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, cool.